Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. Someone can say hello.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Again, excuse me for being a little bit late, but thanks for staying on. Yeah, I'm actually riding to New York City now. So I'll just give a little talk because I can't really open up a book. Om Jnanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurum Malatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadhamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Hridayadhara Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Teutonic Parkway. I'm thinking of my next Monday morning greetings, and before I write it, maybe I can just share it with you. I thought I would call it heart massage, and it was an image I had while chanting. I'm staying upstate now, and I think more and more, at least when I'm in for the summer, I'll stay up there. Like today, I'm just going in for the day to do a program. So I chant a lot. And chanting a lot has a dynamic because Chaito Darpana Marjanam, it cleans the heart. So the more you chant, the more you experience the holy name. Because the holy name is a person. So people reciprocate with love. And one type of form of love is giving your attention. So there's a kind of reciprocation, but also with the clarity of the mind, there's also more experience of what you're focused on. It's both. It's a reciprocation from God, the revelation of God within the holy name, and it's a clarity of that experience. Our main thing with chanting, our main consciousness is that this is none different than God. That's our main thing. It's a dynamic moment. And what does that mean when God has appeared? How should we feel? How should we receive God? That's why being being inattentive is the root of all offenses, because it's a show of lack of care, lack of respect. And what does offense mean? Offense means aparad. To distance yourself from Radha means worship, from worship. Worship is a form of consciousness. It's not something to be in physical proximity. It's consciousness. And people respond to your consciousness. So I was having this experience that chanting more, and I had this sense of and I don't know where it's going to go, but heart massage. And I don't know where it will go. The way I write Monday morning greetings, which is getting a really nice response from, I just was in an exchange with Vishaka, who wrote that wonderful book that I can't remember the name, 5 years, 11 months, but how much she's enjoying and getting, learning, she said, actually. So So, you know, how I write them and my experience writing them is I have to write. I just have to start writing. So basically, the system, and people say, well, how can you write something every, you know, week, a new realization, et cetera? Well, it's my service. I can see that very clearly. It's my service. So the way it is, after experience, you know, faith comes is trust by experience. I trust that something will happen by doing it. People have writer's block. They can't begin. And if they don't begin, you'll never get that faith or trust that it's a very dynamic process that activates your mind beyond ways that you can actually conceive possible. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book. I think I mentioned in my last Monday morning greetings called Blink. And he talked about the phenomena of unconscious competence. So a lot of what we do is actually having the mechanism to having the mechanism to tap in to what we already have. There's so much stored within our mind. It's just a question of accessing it. What to speak of the super soul. You know, we'll get there on time. We you know, whatever, you know, it's fine. Even if I'm a little late, but we're not. We've got a half hour. But even if I'm a little late, it's not a big thing. Just, you know, people socialize. So. It's that those two things. You tap in by effort in devotional service. Pesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvatam siddhami buddhiyogam tvam yenam upayanti. One who worships me with love and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come to me. So it's a reciprocation. And also, when you do something with confidence, you tap into resources that you have that are beyond your conscious ability. In the conscious ability, I mean, you'll think of things, but when you go down a little deeper, so many things can flow. So, when I begin, so what basically what happens is the first realization that comes to my mind basically is what I feel God wants me to write, and sometimes I'll start and then I'll have another realization, but basically it's like that. And what a realization is not just an understanding of truth, is when you see truth. And that's a profound experience. And I think we have a lot more realizations than we realize. We're not just conscious of it. But when you're right, you're conscious of it. Just like someone sent me a little, I don't know, a documentary, maybe it's a half hour, 45 minutes, of the Seinfelds talking about how they wrote the Seinfelds. And this person, Larry David, he just kept a pen and a pad. He walked around New York and he just wrote what he saw through his comedic mind. So I just write what I see through my philosophical and sometimes comedic mind, but mostly through my philosophical mind. I write what I see. When you have a realization, you see something, I think we all have that experience. The difference between understanding something is true and seeing it. And when you see truth, it has a kind of uniqueness about it. It's subjective and objective. It's seeing reality through your perspective, which is seeing reality. So that was my latest realization, because this week, I just decided, why not just chant more? And arrange my schedule to facilitate it. So I had that image of heart massage. That was my realization. And I was trying to think why that image came into my mind. So I haven't thought about it so much. I'm talking now, and maybe. So what happened, you know, is I have a place in Moscow near the main airport. It's right outside of Moscow, but it's by the main Sheremetyevo, something like the main airport. And it's so convenient. It's a 10-minute drive from there. It's a gated community. A picture of the building is beautiful, with red sandstone from Rajasthan. Beautiful downstairs, and I have my own quarters there. And they have from Kerala an Ayurvedic masseuse. So when I'm there, I for my health, I think it's great. I get this, you know, this treatment every day. You know. And the first thing about a massage is that you can be totally relaxed. You don't have to exert any energy. Something is acting upon you. And there's a certain peacefulness to that. So I was thinking the same thing with chanting the holy name. When you do more and when you have concentration, it's something that's acting upon you. You don't have that image, that conception of creating it. Because how can you create God? It's something that has to manifest. So you kind of feel it's something that's, manifesting, and you can relax. You know, sometimes you put two things together. You know, so I was putting together, that image came to my mind in relationship to chanting. And what's a massage too? It's something that's very soothing. Massage makes your muscles soft. You know, it takes away the aches and pains. So I thought about with the chanting, especially it's a good image with the heart. But the heart has so many knots. The heart is so tense. And chanting is like soothing in that sense. And it's also... a massage can be love. If you have the right masseur who's dedicated to his work, it's a kind of expression of service or affection. So it's that sense too, the holy name contacting you is mercy, and it's God's love and affection for you. When it manifests. I know Satchinandana Swami told the story when he was in Barsana chanting or something for his party, but then someone said, are you chanting the name, or is the name chanting you? That image of the name chanting us from the heart. Flowing. So that's my basic conception of basic conception of the experience, and maybe I want to communicate those two things of how Monday morning greetings arise, and as Prabhupada said, you know, I didn't write the books, you know. So writing spiritual things, there's a conception of that, because when I'm writing, I can't imagine how I will get to the point where I'm satisfied. And I can't imagine how I'll figure out the points that I want. And when you do write, when it finally comes out, yeah, there's kind of an amazement. Anyway, it's a process. Now, the second thing I'll talk about, because I was driving, I'd like to thank Ruti too, because the technology on the Zoom is, you know, I just had to press one thing in my email and it automatically dialed it. And then, you know, usually it was so kind of, you know, your access code is incorrect, you know, I used to dial it again. And thinking when I began, the technology made it so difficult. But, you know, this has been going on, I think, almost 11, 12 years. It's on like 600 lectures. The other thing is the Monday morning greeting this week, which you'll read, but I can give a summary. And it's always nice to talk, and there's kind of new ideas. I'm up early in the morning, and the mind is quite clear at that time, and I really love that. I mean, I when I'm upstate New York, I go to bed at 7:30, so I'm up real early, you know, not later than 1, generally, it'd be before 1, and the mind is very, very clear, and, I'm sitting at my desk writing, and a very challenging thought came. Am I doing this for Krishna? Or am I doing it for a fan base, likes, and all the other things that are the force behind our whole existence in the material world that the culture promotes? This whole culture of Facebook getting likes. Material existence means profit, adoration, and distinction. That's what drives material existence. This wanting the center to enjoy and control, but not just for material thing, but for superiority. We minimize how much that is the driving force in the material world, and which is the very essence of the false ego, is that desire for superiority, to feel. And their self-esteem is something different. That's just feeling. That doesn't mean you feel superior. It means you feel of worth. You can be the assistant of some. You, if you're in love with someone, you can be feel worth in a very, very humble position. So it was kind of challenging to me. And I just thought, wow. You know, it is my service, but how much of it is mixed with that consciousness? Because Monday morning greetings It's growing. It's becoming successful. People really, really like it. They write me, and you know, I got incredible letters from Satchinandana Swami, Devamrita Swami, Krishnakshetra, now Mother Vishaka, like substantial people in our movement, intellectuals. And, you know, obviously it's a great satisfaction from doing it. So I kind of thought about this. And I thought about it in the sense that this dichotomy of bhakti being a simple thing, but being difficult. So what is a simple thing that's being a difficult? Being a mother. There's no material qualification for being a mother. You don't need a PhD. You don't need a PhD to be a mother. You don't need to be a caste. It's not like a high-class person or an aristocratic person or a beautiful person or a wealthy person. That, you know, that's the qualification for being a mother. Qualification for being a mother is love, which means you do it. So I thought this with bhakti, that anyone can do it, but there's this qualification of interest or liking. You can do it if you like to do it. And if you don't like to do something, it becomes very difficult. Just like say, I'm sorry, or say, I'm wrong. They may be the easiest things in the world to do. You have the ability to speak. You know a language. You can compose words. Anybody can do that, but how many people will do it in difficult situations? Why? They don't like to do it. So bhakti is so simple. It just comes down to the point. It just comes down to the point of whether you like to do it, whether you're interested in it. And therefore, it's the simplest thing in the world. I think Prabhupada wrote this dichotomy in the most interesting way. He said, it's the process is simple, the application is difficult. Because the application means humility. You have to kind of want to do it. And therefore, bhakti is very, very simple. You just have to seek the association of devotees. And serve them. You have to find a guru and surrender to Krishna through that person. It's simple. When you do that, when you do that, you're liberated. Actually speaking, because Krishna accepts you. If you fully surrender to Guru and Krishna, it's like flipping a switch. Vaisheshika Prabhu gives a nice thing. He says, flip a switch and change your consciousness. I am a servant. It's so simple. And there's no material qualification. Therefore, I actually, my Monday morning greetings, I was quoting the fourth verse of the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. There's four verses in the Bhagavatam. And I was quoting those four verses. That fourth verse is the Abhideya Tattva. And the Abhideya Tattva means, what is the means to realizing the truth? And what is the means to realizing the truth? It's bhakti. And there's 18 pages in Prabhupada's purport. I think there's only one other purport in the Bhagavatam that may be longer, and that's Shravanam Kirtan and Vishnu Smarana. So I made the point that if these purports of Prabhupada's, yeah, you can keep the thing on it, it's not a problem. I think that'll help you. If these purports are Prabhupada's personal ecstasy, then maybe the fact that the purport is so long is a particular joy, because what it is, it's the universality. It's the universality of Krishna consciousness. It means there's no material qualification for it. Anyone can do it. It says, as taking bath in the month of Magh. Taking bath in the month of Magh. And, you know, month of Magh is freezing. But anyone can do it. There's no caste qualification, gender qualification, ethnic qualification, species qualification for bhakti. So even the example, even you don't have to be born. Prahlad Maharaj got liberated in the womb because his mother was hearing from Narada Muni. So anyone can do it. There is no obstacle. You can do it right now in a second. You don't need to get anything to do it. You don't need, you know, there's nothing you have to do. You just have to do it. But I concluded my essay was easier said than done. Because it is the internal, therefore property application is difficult. Because it's the internal qualification, of giving up the false ego. It's just an identity that we want. And if we're sincere and are pensive, we'll see that that is our struggle with that identity. That is our struggle. That is our struggle. But you want to go deeper into the holy name? What's the challenge? The challenge is the voice of the Paramatma telling you, you want to go further, surrender. Tell Krishna, whatever you want, I will do. Can we say that with sincerity? Whatever you want, I'll do. There are some things that Krishna may ask us we may not want to do. Do we really want to say that? And what the great devotees do is they actually say that. Whatever you want, I will do. So, I'm going to stop here. I thank Rati for calling me, because even though I was planning on calling in, you know, the change of venue and traveling and but I welcome any questions. Can someone say hello?
Hi, Krishna. Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Hi, Krishna. One question is, like you said, you know, process is simple, but if you don't want to do it, then it's going to be hard to do. So I think your answer is probably, will probably be just, you know, hear about Krishna, but how to how to come to that point where we can sincerely say, Krishna, whatever you want, that's what I want to do too. How to come from this point to that point?
It's the purification of the heart. And the purification of the heart comes from chanting the holy name without offense. And developing love for Krishna by the processes that inspire us, that we really want to serve. What Krishna wants from us is service, and service means his desire. So that's love. It's like a mother and a child. The mother is surrendered to the child out of love. Whatever you want, I will do. Get up in the middle of the night, change my diapers, take me to the, you know, doctor. You know, give up your sleep. Feed me. Feed me now.
Yeah, but you said that the way to come to that stage is to chant. But chanting is the, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, changing the diaper, feeding the child. That is a chant. So basically the question is, you know, how to come to the point of the chanting, you know, as what you want I will do.
Okay. I'm looking as what you want I will do is an advanced stage. You're already in the preliminary stages. But okay, how to come to the preliminary stages.
Right.
We have the, and that's hearing and suffering. Suffering in the world by trying to be independent of God. And you know, again and again, bhutva bhutva paliyate, again and again destroyed, again and again destroyed, until eventually you give up the idea of making your sandcastle in the world, and you give up that idea of making the sand, and you really want spiritual authority. And I don't become discouraged, because how many, according to our philosophy, how many years have we been in this material world conditioned to so many other conceptions, like addicts? How do they give it up? They
burn out.
They suffer again and again. You know, they come to a point where they're helpless. So it's a combination of that, the material world working on us, and us hearing and understanding that there's a higher reality.
Okay. Okay, Maharaj.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Thanks. Nice to hear from you guys. Okay, great. Other people?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Okay.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, we'll see you guys today.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenia Gloria.
Who is this? Oh, Gloria. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very good. Who else? Good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Anybody
else?
This is Shri Gandharvika.
Okay, thank you. Great. A few more people?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gopa Kishore.
Okay, Gopa and who?
This is Kishore Radha. And Priya.
And Chota Gopina.
Okay, great. Our crew and a few new. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajarade.
This is who? Oh, Brajarade, okay. There you go.
Hare Krishna Guru Dev, this is Jai Sri Radhe and Rami.
And Ram Sadowski. I happen to love the name when I saw that, when you sent me Ram Sadowski. I really love that name. Okay, Ram Dass Sadowski. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Mukunda.
Mukunda, Hargo. Okay. Okay, amazing that everybody stayed on and I was 15 minutes late, but I guess you know that sometimes that happens. Okay, anybody else? Okay, we will end for now. Okay. Okay, Haribo. Thank you all.